Beginning current daf Pesachim daf Mem Hei. We begin on the second line from the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is we had a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanon regarding what is the limud that we learn from the word Mishras when it talks about the prohibitions of the Nazir of consuming the products of wine and all derivatives. It says Mishras that even that what it infuses into other food items, for example, like a piece of bread, one is going to be liable on the bread too. So the Rabbanon learned from there the concept of Tam Kiker, that even the taste of the prohibited substance, in this case the wine, is going to make the bread, for example, usser, even if there's no actual wine, even just the taste. Whereas Rabbi Kiva learned the concept of hetem etzaraf le'issa, that even if you have just a half a zayis of the wine and half a zayis of the bread that's totally permitted will join together in the one session of eating into the kezayis of issa, and the nazir is going to be chayiv on that. Now the Gemara's question was on Rabbi Yochanan. When Rabbi Yochanan was quoting the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, he said that the only place where you find hetem etzaraf le'issa is by nazir, whereas all other isurim you do not say that. The question the Gemara asked is that the Rabbanon, who they're also learning off from the word Mishras, but they learn a different halachic principle, that of Tam Ke'ikar. On that they say, but from Nazir you learn L'chol Tarakula, because we find by Nazir, which is very lenient in the fact that there's no Isser Olam, there's no Isser Hana, and then therefore by other Isserim, for example, like Kalayim and Arla, where they have these stringencies, most definitely they're going to have the halachic principle of Tam Ke'ikar. On that the Gemara asked, Rabbi Kiva should have said, Rabbi Yechanan, in his interpretation of Rabbi Kiva, in the same word of Mishras, by the parish of Nazir, should have said the same thing, that Hetem Itzaraf L'Isser, if you say it by Nazir, most definitely you're going to say it by all other Isserim in the Torah. Why does he say that you only say it by Nazir, and that you don't learn the V'chol Tarakula? And that is where our Gemara had begun in the beginning of this daf, and as we had said on the previous daf, that's because this halachic principle of Hetem Itzaraf L'Isser was said two times in the Torah. It's said once by Nazir and once by Chatas. And we know there's a halachic principle that says that when you have two psukim teaching the same halacha, that then you cannot learn from there. If it's said one place, then you can learn from there and compare it to all else in the Torah. But if the Torah is repeating it twice, it's coming to tell you that you, to the contrary, you cannot learn from that. And that's why Rabbi Yechon was saying that it's only by Nazir that you're going to say Hetem Itzaraf L'Isser, but you're not going to say it throughout the whole Torah. That's where our current daf begins on the second line of the Gemara, that the Gemara inquires. So Nazir Hada Amar, and we know that Nazir is unique, that the Torah says specifically regarding it, the Hetem Itzaraf L'Issa, as we had learned from the word Mishras, infused, that it's even going to be the bread that's going to join together with the Isser of the Kezayis of wine. But then the question is, Chatzis Mahi, this answer that we had said, that Chatzis is also the second extra pasuk that Shnei Kesuvim Habayim Ke'echa, that now you can't learn, where do we find by Chatzis this concept of Hetem being Itzaraf L'Issa? And that the Gemara brings a brisa to town. Like we learn a brisa, there's a pasuk in Vayikra that says, "Koila sheyiga b'fsara," that whatever touches its meat, and that is if let's say a meat of chulin or of let's say a shlamim, which is a lower sanctity, which its time of eating its carbon is a longer time than the carbon of chatas. Now, if that meat, which is either totally unconsecrated or at least a lower type of a carbon, let's say kashrim kalim, which can be eaten for longer, if that goes ahead and touches the carbon chatas. On that the pasuk says, yikdash, it will become holy, begoyim, etc. Now that is, as the Gemara will explain, that means it will have the same halachic status as the carbon chatas that this plain piece of meat or lower level status meat is touching. On that the brisa says, yachlef leibola, you would think to say that the halachas of carbon chatas would apply to this meat that's touching it, even if that meat, the unconsecrated meat, let's say, doesn't absorb any flavor from that carbon chatas. It just touches it, and still you would think the Torah is telling you yikdash, it'll have the same halachic status. Tamalayma, that's why the pasuk says bivsara, in its meat, which that is a reference, atche yivla bibasa, until it absorbs from that meat inside this shlamim meat or this chulin type of meat, only then will we say that then that piece of meat will have the same halachic status as the carbon chatas. Now, then it's going to be, as the pasuk says, yikdash, it's going to be sanctified, it's going to have the same halacha as the karma chatas, which the Brisa explains, what does that mean? Liyas kamay, to be like it, and that is, shim psula, if the karma chatas was invalid, for example, let's say there was a machshava of pigul in it, or some other type of invalidation that was in the karma chatas. So then heif tifsel, now that piece of meat that touched that karma chatas also becomes pasul, this piece of meat that absorbed taste from it. V'im kasherin, now if this karma chatas is kosher, it's not pasul. However, it is going to help this concept that the other piece of meat absorbed from it to make it forbidden to eat it. It's only going to have the quality of eating as the stringencies of the karmachatas, which is the most stringent of the two. and that is it has to be eaten from within the klayim, the curtains. It can only be eaten for the males of the kahanim. It can only be eaten for one day and one night, whereas chulin can be eaten much longer, and or wherever you want, or shlam can be eaten longer. However, he teichel, now this piece of meat is also going to be, now this piece of meat that absorbed the flavor is also going to be eaten kachamer shabal, like the stringency of the carbon chatas that absorb the flavor in it. Because now this piece of meat, essentially, has two halachas in it. It has its own meat, let's say it's chul noshlam, and it also has the stringencies because it absorbs some of the chatas meat inside of it. And yet, what are we saying? That the entire piece of meat will go after the stringency of the carbon chatas, that it will only be eaten within the klayim and by the kahanim, the males, and for one day, one night. So what you see is that obviously we're saying that heter mitzdarf le'isser, that we're saying that this rest of the carbon chatas meat will have the status of the isser of the carbon chatas. So therefore we see heter being mitzdarf le'isser, and that is why Rabbi Yochanan, when he was quoting the halach Rabbi Kiva, said it's only by Nazar and you can't apply it to Kol Tara Kula, because A, you have the pasuk by Nazar that says Hetem Mitzaref L'Issa, as we said by Mishras, and we have by the Karmel Chattis, as we see that it's considered Yikdash, even for the rest of the meat, it's going to have the halachic status of the Karmel Chattis, obviously because we're being Mitzaref, the heter component of this regular shlamim or chulin piece of meat, with the iser component of the chatas inside of it, and since we have shnei kesuvim aboim ke'echad emolam, then that's why we can't learn the chol tarah kula from it. So the Gemara asks, Rabbanan nami, but the Rabbanan, according to them, this should also be a difficulty. Nehavin nazir v'chatas shnei kesuvim aboim ke'echad ma'im alamdin. Nazir, which is also this unique chiddush that we're learning out, this halachic principle of mishras, and this pasuk that we find by chatas, which seems to be saying that even though it just absorbed a little bit, we say that the heter is mitzdarf le'issa, we should also say that they're both teaching the same halachic principle, and then you cannot learn l'chol tarah kula. Why do they say that we do learn klayim and arla all from this chiddush that we find by Nazir? And that the Gemara says, Amri, they'll tell you that hanim mitzach tzrichi, that these two psukim are necessary, and as the Gemara later on will explain, and therefore they're not essentially shnei kesuvim aboim ke'echad. They're not teaching the same halacha, the same chiddush, to say that you would be able to learn one from the other, and why would you repeat it? Obviously, it's to tell you shnei kesuvim ke'echad. Because it's not true, because as the Gemara later on will explain, each of them is teaching their own unique chiddush, and we wouldn't know one from the other, and that's why they're not considered teaching the same idea, and that's why we could learn from them. Rabbi Kiva, but then Rabbi Kiva would tell you, my tzrichi, what does it mean that chatas and nazir are necessary? You don't need, one of them is definitely extra, and that's why it is in the application of shnei kesuvim aboim ke'echad. Because bishleima, I'll understand very well, ikos rachman of chatas, had the Torah only told you this concept of hetem and sarf le'issa by the carbon of chatas, which you just spoke about, I would understand loy gama nazir mine, that you wouldn't be able to learn up nazir from this, from the pasuk of chatas, to tell you the chiddush of hetem mitzdarf le'isser, because the chulin mikachim legamrinan, because you can't learn chulin, which is what nazir is, it's not a kachim item, from carbon chatas, which is kachim, and therefore I understand that there you would say that they're necessary to say both and wouldn't be considered shnei kesuvim ke'echad. But however, elalicht rechman b'nazir, the Torah could have written it just in one place by nazir, v'tesi chatas v'tigrim minah, and then you'd be able to learn the chatas from there, because definitely if by nazir, which is not kachim, you have this chiddush of hetem mitzdarf le'isser, most definitely by karma chatas. The kol isur in shabbat terka gam nazir, because all isur in the Torah you can learn it from nazir, and therefore obviously the one by chatas is extra to tell you that it's boin ke'echad, it's teaching the same chiddush, and if it's teaching the same chiddush, you can't learn out chol tarah kula from the two of them. However, now the Gemara clarifies what we said before. Abanan, amri l'cha mitzach tzrichi. They'll tell you that no, you need to have both psukim. It's not that one of them is extra, and therefore you could learn that from them. That's because they're teaching essentially two different chiddushim. Chatos is lehete mitzdarf le'isser. The pasuk b'chatos is teaching the chiddush of that the heter part of the meat can join together with the isser part, which is absorbing from the chatos. And that is, even if, let's say, the flavor of the karmel chatos did not get absorbed in the whole piece of meat, and that is, if, let's say, you eat a half of a zayis of the pigle part, of which is from the chatos, and a half a zayis, a half of olives volume of the permitted part at one time, we would be able to learn from here, from the karmel chatos, that by kachim you would be chayiv, and that is the concept that we learn up only by karmel chatos, only by kachim that they'll say het mitzaref le'isser, because as we learned in the previous daf, the rabban do not agree to the chiddush of het mitzaref le'isser. It's only by kachim, whereas v'chulin, but regarding other isurim, that we don't say this concept, as we said in the previous daf, of het mitzaref le'isser, even by nazir. And that's because mikachim legamar. You can't learn out from kachim because we always know that the din of kachim is always more chamer than the other halachas. So therefore, again, the pasuk bechatas is teaching its own chiddush, which we're going to say in a moment. It has nothing to do with Nazir is teaching. Nazir is teaching a totally different halachic principle. The one by kachim of karma chatas is teaching hetem tzarf liyaser. And you know what? It only applies by chatas because, not because it's too psukim, but because you can't learn from kachim, even for Nazir. And therefore, that's the only place in the Torah where you say hetem tzarf liyaser. But then, umishras, when the pasuk says, and the infusion by the parasha of Nazir, that's not coming to teach the same chiddush as by karma chatas of hetem tzarf liyaser. Rather, litan tam ki ikar, that is, as we explained in the previous daf, it's coming to teach the halachic principle of that the flavor itself has the same halachic status as the substance itself. And that's because the Rabbanan hold that you cannot have learned that from Giulei Nachem, which is the emissions of the non-Jews pot, which was the story by the Midianites, because that is as they had argued under Behiva in the previous stuff. That was a chiddush, and that's because they hold on some level the pot is considered Tam of Gam, giving a bad taste. And generally, Tam of Gam is not going to make it prohibited, and yet there they say it's prohibited. And therefore, they needed the pasuk by Nazir to teach you Mishras, to tell you the idea of Tam Ki Iker. And the Mekana Tadan, L'chal HaTara Kula, and therefore from here, you could learn to the whole entire Torah, the halachic principle of Tam Ki Iker. Because the only place where you say Tam Kik is one pasuk by Nazir, because Chatz is teaching a different halacha of Hetem Tzarf Lissa, and therefore, yes, of course, you could learn the Chal Tzarek Kul. And again, that's their shita, as we had learned in the previous daf, that from Nazir by Mishras, we're not learning Hetem Tzarf Lissa, rather, we're learning the halacha principle of Tam Kik. But Rebbe Kiva holds, as we had learned in the previous daf, that Ge'ulei Nachem, the emissions of the non-Jews pot, is not a chiddush. Because he says the pasuk is talking about by Ben Yoimei, which he says that's not considered Tam of Gam. And therefore, you don't need the pasuk by Nazav Mishras to teach you Tam Ki Iker. And therefore, according to Rebbe Kiva, since we have a pasuk of Mishras, what's it teaching? It's not teaching Tam Ki Iker, because that he knows already from Geulei Nachem, must be teaching the halachic principle of that Heta is Mitztaref Le'Isser. And therefore, you have to say that Tarvayu, the two of them, Nazir and Chatas, Lehetim Mitztaref Le'Isser, they're both teaching this halachic principle of that the permitted item joins together to create the necessary volume of Isser with the other half of the Isser. And therefore, the pasuk by Karban Chatas is an extra pasuk, and that to get that because it could have been learned, as we had said before, from Nazir. Nazir could not have learned from Chatas. Chatas could have been learned by Nazir. And therefore, v'havelu shnei kesov ma'bom ke'echa. Therefore, they are two psukim teaching the same chiddush. And therefore, that is this comes to the answer. This is the completion of the answer that the Gemara was saying on the question that we had asked in the previous daf. Why it was so obvious to Rabbi Yechanan that Rabbi Kiva did not learn other Isurim from Nazir to say this concept of Heta being Mitztaref L'Issa, because you can't. Because when you have two psukim saying the same halachic principle, which is what it is by Nazir and Chatas, you can't learn L'Chal Tarek Kula. So although the Rabbanan do learn from Nazir L'Chal Tarek Kula, that's because they only have one pasuk teaching you halachic principle of Tam Ki Iker. But according to Rebbe Kiva, that according to his shita, you're learning out from two psukim Heta Mitztaref L'Issa, you can't learn L'Chal Tarek Kula. And that's why Rabbi Yechanan only quoted regarding Nazir, not for all the other Isurim in the Torah. Now the Gemara goes back to ask on this halacha, the basic halacha of Rebbe Kiva. Amli Rav Ashi Rav Kahana. Elohad de Tanya, but this day within the Brice, it says a pasuk in Bamidbar. Mikol asher yo'asim migef hanayin, whatever will be made from the grapevines, michartzanim va'adzag, from the seeds until the skin, well, all these things are included in the Isser for Nazir. So the Brisa says, Limit al Isuri Nazir shemit starfim zemza. This teaches that all the different prohibitions that are different components of the Isser, they all join together to create the Isser for the Nazir. And the reason is because since the Pasuk put it into one act of eating, including the peels and the seeds, it teaches that they're all joined together in the Isser. Now the question becomes, now Hashta, why would I need a Pasuk to have this Chiddush to say that they're all going to join together all these Isurim to create the Isser of Nazir, even though, let's say, you take a half a shear of the seed and another half of a kezayis of the peel that they'll join together, but Rebbe Kiva, Isser v'hetim mitzarven. We just finished saying that according to Rebbe Kiva, even, and this is what we're talking about by the Parsha of Nazir, which says Mishras, even Heter joins together with the Isser to create the full shear of Isser. Isser v'isser mibayah, do I need to have a pasuk to tell me that the two different components of Isser of the Nazir are going to join together? Even if it's totally Heter, we're joined together. So how do we understand this according to Rebbe Kiva? That the Gemara says, Amalei, he says to him, Isser v'heter bevas achas. You're right, there's this Chiddush Rebbe Kiva of Mishras by Nazir, that Isser and Heter join together. That's only if it's eaten at the same time. You have that bread that's, let's say, soaked with wine. You're eating it, then you're going to be chayiv, even if it's heter. So the iser b'zachaz, the chiddush over here was that even if it's one after another, but it's within the shear of, let's say, kedeich ilus pras, then even if it's zachazeh, but if they're both isurim, one's the pill, one is the seed, then they will join together to create, and that's why we need it, because iser b'heter is only at the same time. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on these halachas of bir chametz, of the need to eliminate certain items of chametz. So the Mishnah begins, betzek, regarding dough, shebesidke ariva, that's in the cracks of the trough, and that is where they go ahead and they knead the dough. So it depends. Im yesh kezayis b'makom echad, so we have in the cracks that dough gets stuck in there. So if there's a kezayis worth of dough in one place, so the chayev levar, you have a shear that's worthy of isurim, of a kezayis, so then if it's in one place, then you have to eliminate it, vimlav, but if not, batel b'miyutai, then it's going to be nullified in its small amount, and therefore, since it's less than the kezayis, you don't have to eliminate it from the cracks, and you can leave it there. Then the Mishnah says, v'chein lein na'tumah, the same halachas apply to the halachas of tumah, which the Gemara is going to explain. It seems like that regarding what the Mishnah is going to talk about, tumah is totally different than what they're talking about, this halacha of chametz in the cracks. However, the Mishnah says that the same applies to tumah, that im makbar alav, if you're particular about the dough, then chaitzes, then it will be interposition, it will be considered a different entity from the trough itself, and therefore it's going to be an interposition if you, let's say, you want to go ahead and toivel it and immerse in the mikvah. However, if you wanted to stay there, then it's like it's part of the trough, and therefore it's not going to be considered a chatzitza, and you could table even with the dough inside. So now the Gemara explains this halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Yehuda Mishmul. And the Gemara is going to bring two different versions of Shmuel and two brises, like the two different versions, and the Gemara is going to ultimately try to resolve these two different versions. So the first version of Shmuel says that loy shanu, we didn't learn this halacha in our Mishnah, that if you do have a kezayis worth of dough in one area of the cracks, that then you will have to eliminate it. Ella, that's only if these cracks are not in the bottom of the trough, which the bottom is a place where the water gets poured there, where that dough that's stuck in the cracks, if it was there in the bottom, that would help for the trough to support the water that's poured there. But we're not talking about that. When our Mishnah says that if it's a kezayis, it's a problem, we're talking about that it's in the walls. B'mokim she'ein asun l'chazik, in a place where it's not useful for supporting the trough itself. Then we said that since it's not supporting the stability, the structure of the trough, therefore if it's stuck in the cracks, at least a kezayis, then one would have to eliminate it. Avol, b'mokim she'asun l'chazik, however, in a place where it is, let's say on the bottom of the trough, where it is there, it's if it's closing up the cracks, and that the water can't seep out, it would support the structure of the trough, then we would say that it would be bottled, it would be nullified to the trough itself, although it's dough, it would be like a piece of wood, and we wouldn't consider it chametz, because generally a person would want to have it bottled there and staying there so that it could support that the water that's usually needed, it would not leak out. And then even if it's a kezayis, on that Shmuel says, ein l'chayv levar, our Mishnah would agree that one would not have to go ahead and eliminate in that type of case. Now the Gemara says, Mechlal, so from Shmuel's halacha, the Gemara is inferring now, from his halacha, that you could say that from the fact that he says, explanation in our Mishnah, that one is only chayiv on a kezayis, and that's what our Mishnah is talking about, in a place where it's not used to support the trough, and that is, we're talking about, let's say, by the walls, then we could understand that when the Mishnah then says that when it's less than the kezayis, that then it would be batel b'miyuta, that then it would be nullified and you wouldn't have to go ahead and get rid of it, then you could hear from that the pachis mekezayis, that when it is less than the kezayis, that it's not chashiv, afilu b'makom she'ein asal chazik, then obviously we're telling you that even if it's in the place where it's in the walls, because that's again what Shmuel had said regarding the halach of kezayis, that you have to eliminate it only when it's in the unsupportive role, which is in the walls, the cracks, then you don't really need it because it's not seeping out any water there anyway, it's only on the bottom. That's when the kezayis is a problem. And even in such a case is what we were saying, but if it's less than the kezayis, it's not. Even if it's a place that it's not supportive, and that's even if, let's say, there would be many half of olive volumes, as long as they're not in one place, we still consider it's not significant. And ein chayv levar, you would not have to eliminate it, even if it's in the walls, not even in the supportive role, in the bottom of the trough. However, the Gemara brings a different version of Shmuel. And that is, this first version said it in the Reisha, when he was saying, qualifying what we were saying regarding kezayis, that where it's going to be, it's only in the wall, but in the bottom it would be, you wouldn't have to get rid of it even if it's a kezayis. The second version says, Ikka demasni la sefer, that those that learned the halacha of Shmuel on the sefer. The sefer said, vim lav, that if there is not a kezayis of dough, then batel b'miyuta, then we said it's going to be nullified because it's so little, so insignificant, and you're not going to have to eliminate it. On that, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, lo yishanu, we didn't have to learn. We didn't learn that you don't have to eliminate this dough that's less than the kazayas. Ela b'makom ha'asir l'chazik. We don't have to eliminate it only if it's at least in a place where it's supporting the trough, which is, like we said, on the bottom of it. But in a place where it's not supportive, it's not going to assist in the structure of the trough. For example, let's say on the wall, then even if it's less than a kazayas, Shmuel says the Mishnah would agree that chayv levar, you would have to eliminate it because although it's less than a kazayas, however, it's not in a supportive role, and it's still you would still have to eliminate it. So Machlav the Gemara infers from there that you could infer back to the Reishna, that the kazayas, when it is a kazayas, a filib amokim also lechazik, that you could say that even in a place where it would support the structure, for example, if it was on the bottom, that chayiv levar, then you would have to eliminate it, because we're only saying, this is the qualification that Shmuel was saying in the save of the Mishnah, that when did we say less than the kazayas? You don't have to if it's also lechazik, if it's on the bottom, which the mashmois is, but if it was a kazayas, then even if it was supporting it on the bottom, that then you would have to eliminate it, even though for sure you would be mavatlid, you would want it to stay there, still it doesn't make a difference. Once it's a chashav amount, it's a kazayas, then it's not batal. And obviously, like Rashi points out, that the Lishna Basra, the second version, is more stringent than the first version. So the Gemara says, Tani Kalish Nakama, Tani Kalish Nabraisa, we have a Braisa that seems to say like the first version of Shmuel, and we have a Braisa that seems to say like the second version of Shmuel. As the Gemara explains, Tani Kalish Nakama, we have a Braisa that says like the first version of Shmuel, which is Betzik Shebesit Gareva, dough that's in the cracks of the trough. So, B'mokim Ha'asil L'chazik. If it's in a place where it's used to support, that is, let's say, on the bottom of the trough, which is that it's going to close up the cracks that, let's say, the water can't leak out, Ein Ha'chaitzitz, so then it's not an interposition. In other words, it's not considered a separate entity, and you could tovel it like that in the mikvah. The Ein Ha'ivr, and also a person would not be Ivr in the Isav Chametz by leaving that dough there on the bottom in the cracks there. However, in a place where it's not used supportively, let's say in the walls, then chaitzis, it would be considered interposition. You would have to get rid of it. And one would violate on the issa of chametz on Pesach. That the Braisa qualifies by medivum. When did we say this? That is b'kazayas. Avol b'pachas mekazayas, but if it's less than the zayas, afilu b'makom she'enos lechazik, and even in a place where it's not used to support, let's say in the wall, in a chaitzis, it still would not be chatzitza, ve'en ha'ivr, and one would not be ivr. And that's like the first version of Shmuel, which is in a place where it's asa lechazik on the bottom, that one would not be ivr, even if it's a kazayas. That even a kazayas, as long as it's in the bottom, it's in the supportive role, then it would not be a problem. And our Mishnah is only talking about because it's on the wall, that's why it's a problem. Tani Kalish and Braisa. But then we have a Braisa that says like the second version of Shmuel. Betzik Shebesid Kareiv. Again, dough that's in the cracks of the trough. B'mokam ha'as l'chazik. If it's in the place where it's used to support the structure, again, like we said, on the bottom of the trough, and we continue onto Amud Beis. Then the Braisa says, in a chaitzis, that is, it's not going to be into position, let's say if it became tame and you want to immerse this kli in the mikveh, that it's batel, it's nullified to that reva, and it's not a problem. Ve'ena ivra, and regarding the halachas of chametz on Pesach, one would not be ivra. However, the Braisa does say, b'makim she'enos l'chazik, if it's in a place where it's not used to support it, let's say on the walls, then chaitzis v'ivra, then there would be chatzitza, and one would be ivra in the isav chametz. Now the Braisa qualifies, b'medivam, and when did we say this? B'pachas mekazayas. This is what we had just been speaking about, was only if it's less than a kazayas. B'kazayas, but if it's a kazayas, then afilu b'mokim ha'asir l'chazik, then even if it's in the area where it is used to support, let's say in the bottom of the trough, then chaitzis, it would be chatzitza v'ayver, and you'd be ayver. And again, that's like the second version of Shmuel, where that even if it's in the supportive area on the bottom, however, if it's a kazayas, one would be ayver. So therefore, again, we have two Braises, each one saying like a different version of Shmuel. But then the Gemara says, Kashna Dadi. Ultimately, they contradict each other. What do we do with that? So Amar Rav Huna says, Sami Kilsa, remove the lenient version, which is the first Braisa, which say that's not a right Mishnah, Mekmechamirta in place of the more stringent version, which was the second one. Rav Yosef argues. He says, what do you mean? They were both taught in the Beis Medrash, these Braises, and they're both full-fledged Mishnais, and there's two different Tanoim, and they're arguing about something. Tanoi Shakla Miyama, what did you remove all the Tanoim from the world? What is it? You can't find other Tanoim to say that they argue in the same exact machlokes to say that each one is a legitimate Braisa? Why do you have to say remove one from the other? What do you mean? It is a machlokes. And we can find Tanoim, Tanoihi, it's a machlokes Tanoim, to Tanoim, like another Braisa. We can legitimately demonstrate that they're both have rightful authors because it actually happens to be machlokes. We learn the Braisa, Pasha Ifsha, regarding the bread that became moldy. So the Tanakhama says, Chayv Levar, you have to eliminate it. Mipnei Shirui L'Shechu, because it's still fit, because you could grind it. L'Chameya B'Kame Yisachers, and you can use it to use like yeast to cause other doughs to become, to ferment, and therefore it still has utility, and that's why you have to eliminate it. Shimon ben Lazar, he says, B'Med Devor Mamurim, when did we say this? That one would have to eliminate it, we will still consider it like valid chametz, is only B'Mekoyemes L'Achila. If you're still maintaining it for the purposes of eating, but a block of leaven sheyichdu liyeshiva that was designated for sitting purposes, not for eating, then butla, then it would be butla. We don't consider that anymore as a chametz item that we have to eliminate. And therefore, as Rashi explains, we see that there is an opinion that says even something that's the size of a kezias, which what this block of sa'ir is, when you're mevatel it, it's butla. And therefore here, where, as Reb Shimon Lazar says, you're using it for sitting, that's it, it's batel. I don't care how big it is, you're not going to have to eliminate it. And therefore the first braisa that said that even in a place where it's used to support it, it's going to be batel, and that is where generally, where you're putting it to support on the bottom of the trough, you want it to stay there. That even if it's a kezayis, it's going to be batel, that's Reb Shimon Lazar, that he says, since something is not being kept for eating purposes, it's batel. Even if it's right here, it's a block of sa'ar, it doesn't make a difference. If you're not keeping it for eating it, you don't want it anymore for that purposes, we don't look at it as food anymore, it's not chametz. And that's exactly like the first braisa said, where if it's in the bottom to support, and most people would want the dough to stay there to close up the cracks, it's going to be batel. Whereas midamar Reb Shimon Elazar batla, but from the fact that we can infer that the second opinion that Brisa of Reb Shimon Elazar that he says it's going to be batla, this block of sa'ar, Mechlal de Tanakama, who argues sabr loy batla, that it's not going to be batla, this kaifis of sa'ar. Alma kesavis, obviously we see that Tanakama holds that kol kezayis, whatever is at least a share of a kezayis, it's already a chashav amount, avagav de mevatl, even if you are mevatlit, which is exactly like the case of what we call b'makom osti l'chazik, like the bottom of the trough, and exactly like the case of kaifis ar, where you're saying, I want to use it for sitting, it doesn't make a difference. Once it's the size of kezayis, loy batl is not going to be batl, and that's exactly what the second braisa was saying. Even if it's a b'makom osti l'chazik, just like the case of this block of this ar, where you want to use it for sitting, it doesn't make a difference. It's the size of a kezayis. Tanakama says, it's regular chametz, it's the size of a kezayis, you can't be mevatlet. And therefore, he says, that is the resolution, Rabbi Yosef says, of these two different braises. You don't have to say, like Ravuna says, that you have to erase one because of the other. However, Amalei Abaya asks on Rabbi Yosef, to rest the b'kezayis. Fine, you resolved one of the contradictions between the two different braises regarding when there's the size of a kezayis. If it's in a place where it's asur l'chazik, let's say on the bottom of the trough, where you said that the braise that says that a kezayis will be batel, that's like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and the one that says it won't be batel, that's like the Tanakama. However, there's still one more contradiction that you did not resolve with this machlokes tanoim. Pachis mikezayis, however, when it's less than the kezayis, in a place where it's not osur l'chazik. That is also a contradiction between the two different braises. That's because the first braise said that even in a place where it's not used to be mechazik, for example, on the walls, that first braise says you're still not going to have to eliminate it. And however, the second braise says that if it's in a place where it's not osur l'chazik, that you will have to eliminate it. On that mit taratzta, did you resolve that contradiction? And that is because we never heard by Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who you're quoting as the more lenient opinion that says that things are going to be batel, only if it's not being kept for eating purposes, like the block of sa'ar. However, where it's being kept for eating purposes, which is, for example, in a place where it's not osur l'chazik, let's say on the side of the, by the walls of the trough, where that's not used to support there, that dough is, would still be kept for eating purposes. It's not miftel, it's not intrinsically batel-like because to support the water not spilling out on the bottom, that we never heard him differentiate between a kezayis or less than a kezayis. And therefore the question becomes, who is this of the first braisa that says that you would not have to eliminate if it's less than a kezayis, but malkum, that it's not osur l'chazik? We don't find such an opinion that makes that differentiation that says that if it's less than a kezayis, even if it's b'makom in osur l'chazik, that you're not going to have to mevatel it. Ella, rather, Abaya says a different pshat in these two different braises. It's not a machlekes, you don't have to eliminate one braise, as Rav Huna said, and not like Rav Yosef, that it's a machlekes Rav Shimon Elazar and Tanakama. Rather, hava har Rav Shimon Elazar. Both braises are going like Rav Shimon Elazar. But like Kasha, and it's not a difficulty, why not? Ha b'makom lisha, ha shaloi b'makom lisha. And that is, the truth is that they both agree to the same halacha, there's no contradiction, they're both the same opinion of Shimon Lazar, but just they're using, these two different brayos are using different terms. And basically, it's the difference between when we're calling something asr l'chazik, when we're saying it supports, what are we talking about supporting? Up until now, we assumed supporting would be, let's say, in the bottom of the trough, when it supports the water not spilling out. But there's another element of support, which is supporting the dough. The dough that's being supported by the walls that are on the side, which is what the Gemara's term is, regarding the makam lisha, where the dough is being kneaded. And as Rashi explains at length, says that the second brisa was not calling the makam that's not used to be mechazik, to support. It was only using that as a term for a place that's not a makam of kneading at all. For example, the upper lip of the trough. That would be considered a makam that's not osel lechazik, not the walls. The walls would be considered a makam asr l'chazik. However, the first brisa was calling even the walls a place that's not asr l'chazik, even though it is a place where the dough is kneaded. And what would be considered a makam that's asr l'chazik according to the first brisa? That would be the shalim. That would be the bottom of the trough, as we had been saying up until now. And this is how the Tanakama was. This is what he was saying. In a place where it's asr l'chazik, that the dough is used to support the trough, for example, on the bottom, as we've been saying up until now, where it supports the water, then even if the dough is the size of a kezayis, you're not going to be oibre, as we had been saying. This is the opinion of Shimon Laza, that both brises are going like, that it's going to be batel. When the first brisa then says that if it's a makam that it's not asr l'chazik, it meant that it's not there to support the water, for example, the walls, which is ultimately, but still it's a place where one would need, but it's still not a place of where the water is, then it would be a chatzitza, again, if it's a kezayis, and one would be over. But if it's less than a kezayis, then even the walls, which again, this first brisa is calling makam ha'in asr l'chazik, it would not be a chatzitza. And the reason is because since it helps a little bit, at least for the dough, because when they soak it and they knead it over there, therefore there is purpose, there is utility for the walls to be closed up. Therefore, we would say that it would be bottled if it's less than the kezayis, even though, quote, it's in the makam ha'in asr l'chazik on the walls. However, in a place where there's no kneading, even for kneading, there's no utility. It's not even mechazik that, for example, on the upper lip, that the first tana of that first brisa was not talking about at all. And he would agree that even if it's less than a kezayis, it wouldn't be batel over there. But the second, the tana of the second brisa was saying as follows. What he was calling makam asr l'chazik, he wasn't referring just on the bottom, like the tana of the first brisa was saying, which is to l'chazik of the water. He was talking about a place that supports the dough, which that he was using as a reference to the walls. That would not be a chatzitza only if it's less than a kezayis, because as we said, that helps a little bit. But that's exactly what the tana of the first brisa was saying. And then when the tana of the second brisa says, however, in a place where it's not asr l'chazik, that he meant as a reference, not like the walls at the time of the first brisa, that he was referring to the upper lip, that would be chatzitza, and that's even if there's no kezayis over there. But that, again, that's exactly like the time of the first brisa was saying. We thought that was a contradiction, because they were using the same terms, but they were referring to two different things when they used the same term. What did they mean when they said makam ha'asr l'chazik or not? Was it l'chazik of the mayim or l'chazik of the dough? And finally, however, if it's a kezayis, then even in the walls, that would be a chatzitza. And again, that's exactly like what the Tana of the first brisa said, and therefore there's no contradiction whatsoever. However, to clarify this halacha of Abai that was resolving these two brises, they're both going like Reb Shimon Elazar, Amar Ravashi, loy tema, don't say, shaloy b'makam lisha, that what we're calling, but however, if it's not in a place where even the kneading is, where we said that even if it's less than a kezayis, according to both brises, because they're saying the same halacha, that we're saying that if it's less than a kezayis, it would be chatzitza, because it's not even a place of kneading, don't say that's a reference to agaba da'agana, to the top of the trough, which is on the outside. But then you would infer, but that the lip of the trough, you would consider a place of kneading, and then it would be batel. If it's less than a kezayis, don't say that. Ela sifsa da'agana, rather, this that we're saying it's considered not a place of kneading is the lip of the trough, that's also considered shaloi b'makam lisha, and it's not going to be batel even if it's less than the kezayis. To which you can ask, pshita, what I mean, it's pretty obvious that the lip of the trough is not a place where the kneading is, it's in the inside where the walls are. Another thing Gemara says, no, I needed to tell you that, Ravashi is saying, because madatema, well, I would have thought to say, zimna da'atif amati lahasam, sometimes the dough bubbles up and it rises to the top and it goes all the way top to the lip of the trough, and therefore it would be considered a mukam lisha, and therefore if it's less than the kezayis in those cracks, it would be batel. Kamash Mullah, that's what Ravashi had to tell you, that when we're learning in the brises, that everyone agrees that shaloi b'makam lisha is going to be not bottled, even if it's less than the kezayis, that's not even on the outside, but even on the top by the lip, because that's not a place of lisha, and therefore it's not going to be bottled because it's not asir lechazik even of the dough. So Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav, to sum up this sugya, says halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Elazar, halacha falls like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. That is, when you mevatel something, it's batel even a lot. In other words, this that they had the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon ben Elazar regarding, let's say, the kaifis sa'ar, this bundle of yeast, which is larger than the kezayis, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says if you're using it for sitting, if it's in the cracks on the bottom to support it, if it's even if it's more than the kezayis, if you mevatel it, it's batel. There's no problem. You're not over on chametz on Pesach. But the Gemara asks on this halacha of Rav Nachman in the name of Rav, how can you say this? But ini v'ha'omer Rabbi Yitzchok bar Ashi Amar Rav, which again is Rav, that he said that it's only if imtach panel, only if you smear the surface of this block of sa'ar that we're saying that you're preparing it for sitting purposes, betit, with cement, with lime, then batla, then it's going to be batla. But the inference is that Rav held that tachin, only if you actually went ahead and you made it into a bench by putting cement all over it, then it's going to be batla. Loi tachla, but if you didn't smear it with something else to undo it from the utility of food purposes, then it would not be batla. And that's not like what we had just said, that just with a machshava, of just designating it for sitting would be enough. And that the Gemara says, you're right. But man de masniha, the one that taught this one the name of Rav, loy masniha did not teach this halacha the name of Rav, and it's a machlokes amarum in the name of Rav. If you actually need to have tach, you need to go ahead and smear it with something else, or it's enough even just designating it just by having a bottle, like in the bottom of the trough, if that's enough or not, that's a machlokes amarum in the name of Rav. Ikadam, they'll say a different version related to this question that we just mentioned, that Amar Rav Nachman Rav, that ain halacha Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Halacha is not like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. The Amar Rav Yitzchok bar Ashi Amar Rav, which is that they're both in unison in this halacha, that im tach paneh betit batla v'chulu, that based on that principle of Rav, that it's only if you smeared it that then it's going to be batel. And however, but if you didn't smear it, it's not going to be. So obviously Rav paskins not like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that it's not enough to just be mevatel, and you would actually have to do something to undo it. So now on this topic, another statement from Rav Nachman, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Shnei Chatzoi Zeisim, if you have two half of olives, again in the cracks of the trough, but V'chut Shal Betzik B'Neim, but you have a thread, a string of dough between the two half of Zeisim. So then, Royin, we see, Kol She'ili Yunat Al-Chut, if you were to take that thread of dough, Vinital Nimoy, and they would be schlepped, they would be dragged with that string that you're pulling, then you would have to eliminate those half of zesim of dough, because obviously that chut, that string, is joining them together, and therefore it's considered a zayas volume of dough in one place. And as Rash explains, we're talking about that it's in the walls, where kazayas is not batel, and therefore you would have to go ahead and eliminate it. But v'imlav, if you were to pull that string that's connected to, and the two would not come, the two half of olives, then you don't have to eliminate it because then they're considered two half of a zaisin. Now half of a zais in the wall is not something you have to eliminate, and therefore we view them as separate because they're not joined together by that string, because if you pulled it, they wouldn't come together. So to qualify this halacha, Amar Ula says, Lo yamarin, we didn't say this halacha, that if they're not dragged with that string, that you don't have to eliminate them, that was only said as what we had said the case was talking about, in a trough where they're staying put where they are, they're not moving. But if these two halves, that let's say even if they did not have the string of the dough attaching the two of them, but they're right next to each other, then you would have to eliminate them. So the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason? They're two halves and they're not being attached. So halves of a zayas are not necessarily, they're considered insignificant, they're bottle. Why would you have to go ahead and eliminate it if it's in a house? That the Gemara says, because there's zimn in the konishlu, because sometimes they might be gathered together, because if someone's sweeping the house, v'nafle gabe hadodin, then they're going to be together. Oh, on Pesach, suddenly you're going to have a zayas together, because the two halves join into one, and that's going to be a problem on Pesach, and therefore you do have to eliminate it, even if they're now attached by that string together. On this topic, Amar Ula says that boyi b'marava. So they inquired, they asked in Eretz Yisrael regarding this halacha, what would be bayis va'aliyah? What would be if a house with a second story, that is, you have a half a zayis in the house, and you have another half of an olive's volume in the second story? Mahu, what would be the halacha over there? Are we also concerned over there that they might be gathered together? Because maybe you're going to, let's say, sweep the house and gather all the dust together, and then you're going to have these two zaysim together, or not? Do we say that no, that, you know, that's a second story, they're separate, we're not going to be concerned that they're going to come to join together? Now, and if you say that regarding a house in the second story that we're not concerned, because it's not going to happen that it's going to fall down from the second story exactly where the other half of Kezias on the bottom is going to join together. But then the question is, what would you say with a house and a portico, like a porch coming out of the house? That do you say that maybe over there that we would be concerned that we would sweep in the porch to get the portico with the house and that they would join together? Now, and if you say that this bias and this achsadja, that, yeah, there the derech is that by the achsadja, the porch, that people are constantly coming in and out of the house all entire time, and there's no complete wall separating the portico and the house, because there's windows and there's openings from the portico from all different sides, and therefore that's where we view it as one house, so we would be concerned that we would sweep it together and maybe that the two halves are going to join to one and you would have to eliminate them. But then the question becomes, shnei batim zelef nemizeh. What's with two houses, one within of the other? And that is, the ones from the inner house can only get there through the outer house. But they're not in constant use as it is with a house in the chsadja, where it's one opening thing. Here it's two separate houses. They just have to walk from the outer one to the inner one. Mahu, what would we say over there? Would we be concerned that they would sweep together one house with the other one, or not, and that we wouldn't be concerned that the two halves that are in one house and one the other one, that they're going to be joined together? Now the Gemara says, take or let them stand, these questions are not resolved. Would we say that they're the same in a house? But ultimately, in one house, even two halves would have to be eliminated. But all these different cases of a house in the second story, or with an achsadja, or one house within another house, it's not clear if there would be necessary to eliminate there also, if it's not joined together by the chut, that if it would be pulled, that would be pulled together. Talmud in the Braisa, Hapas She'ifsha, regarding the bread that became moldy, the nifsala milachala adam became invalid, it became unuseful for a person to eat it because it got so moldy that people wouldn't eat it. Bahakelev yochal ochla. However, a dog could still eat it. It's not that moldy, so ruined that a dog wouldn't eat it. Salach is follows. Mitama tumas oichim bekebeya. It still conveys a tumma of food items in the size of an egg. And that is because as long as it's still fit for a dog, it does not lose its food status from it. Vinisrefis imatmeya bePesach, and then also could be burned with truma tmeya on Pesach, and that is if it is truma tahira, that although it's still fit for a dog, but since it's not fit at least for a person, you're allowed to go ahead and be metame b'yadayim. Although truma tahira is not allowed to be metame, but here where it's already people don't eat it anymore, you could be metame in with yadayim. And as Rashi explains, the chiddush is for the opinion of Reb Yosi that he said in the first parak of Yadalam and Aleph that no, you cannot burn truma tahira with truma tmeya, although it's already time of bir chametz, you have to eliminate it anyway. Still, you have to burn it separately. That is what we're saying here. That even according to Reb Yosi, you could burn them together because they're still it's already possible from achilas adam. People don't eat it, so it's already considered subpar. And even though it's truma tahira, you could burn it with truma tmeya. However, Mishum Reb Nassan, in the name of Reb Nassan, they said that he argues. He says in the matama, even for the tumas of eichlin, once it already becomes invalid for utility of people, even though dogs would still eat it, it's not considered eichlin anymore, and it's not going to be conveying tumas eichlin. So based on this, the Gemara says, "Kaman azla haditnan." Who does it go like? The following Mishnah Masechtas Tahiris that says, "Klal amar Tahiris." They said a general rule regarding the halachas of purity, that kalam yuchel lo eichel adam, whatever was designated for the consumption of humans, and that is, so therefore it has the status of a food item, so tame, it becomes, it can convey, and it contracts the halachas of tuma forever, and that's even if it will be ruined from people eating it, until it becomes so inedible, that even a dog would not eat it. Okay, come on, who is that Mishnah like? Obviously, the late Reb Nosson. Obviously, it's not like Reb Nosson, because that Mishnah is saying that it would be considered tumas eichlin, until when the dog wouldn't eat it, and he said that it wouldn't be considered tumas eichlin even if a dog could eat it, as long as a person can. So obviously it's going like the other opinion in that braisa. So on this topic, the Gemara brings Tarmban in the braisa regarding this the troughs that we said that have dough inside of it that we have to eliminate. So this braisa says Irevis habdanim, the trough of the tanners, and that is they would put hides to tan, and they would also put flour inside of it. That would be part of the process of the tanning. So you have this areva, the trough of the tanners, that flour is put inside of it. So it depends.
Teich Shloisha Yamim, if within 3 days of Pesach the dough is put inside of it, then we still consider that flour as viable for the Isra of Chametz. And therefore, when Pesach comes, Chayiv Levar, you have to eliminate that flour. And that's even if there was hides inside of it, even though there was hides, which definitely can make it not so geschmack, not so edible. However, if it's still within 3 days, we view it as viable chametz, and one would have to eliminate it. Koidim shleishiyam, however, if it's from before 3 days, from before Pesach, then already it got ruined from the smell of the trough. And then even if hides were not put in, eina chayv levar, one would not have to eliminate it. It's already ruined. It's not considered chametz. Reb Nosson said, when did we say this? That's only if hides were not put in. In other words, what Reb Nosson holds is that if hides were not put in, then I agreed to the halacha that you said, that within 3 days, one would have to eliminate it. But however, if it's already after 3 days, then one would not have to eliminate it because it already got ruined from the smell of the vessel. However, if hides were put into the flour, then it would be mevatel, the halachic status of chametz on it. And that's afilo teich shloisha in the chayv levar. Then even if it's within 3 days of Pesach, one would still not have to eliminate it. And Omer Rava says, halacha falls like Reb Nosson, that even if it's within 3 days, if hides were put into it, already ruined it, and one would not have to eliminate it. And even afilo yom echad, even if it's within 1 day of Pesach, and vafilo sha'achas, even if it's 1 hour before Pesach, if you put in the ur, if you put in the hides, that already ruins it. It's already bottle, and one would not have to eliminate it before Pesach, even though it's within 3 days.